Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on ACAST. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliecare@gmail.com. My guest today is Kate Dries. Hey, Kate.
Hey, Jolie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in here. This is our new studio. Welcome to the brand new studio.
Yeah, it smells of paint, which is a scent that I actually love. So it's great.
Yeah, actually, I like the smell, too. I do think it smells really, really good in here.
Yeah.
I have to stage later. But I was like, I'm not going to sage before we start recording just in case Kate hates the smell of burning sage because some people don't like it.
I don't think I mind it. I don't really like incense like those guys in the subway who sell it. That makes me really nauseous.
Yeah.
But sage is like just a herb.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, you guys, I'm very excited to be here in this new studio. ACAST has moved to this like swank new office. We have a roof deck. We're very excited about that. You'll have to come back in the summer. And
yes, I was this is not the time for me to be
here. we'll record on the roof deck. No, it's definitely not the time because today's episode is actually like a super winter theme. We're going to be talking all about fur. Before we get into it, though, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. And I have new patrons to thank. You guys, I think I told you at the beginning of this year I was going to be moving to doing all the patron thanks at the beginning of each month. And so this is that time. And I have lots and lots of people to thank. So big thank yous go out to Tara McCook, Sophie, Melissa Lewis, Eleanor, Petta Hall, Bethany Murray, Laura Helbing, Bethany Willick, Chris, Judy Zhang, Catherine Weibel, Emily Oppenheimer, Amy Plaisance, Anthony Black, Pete Segal, and Kimberly Ockel. And I have some very, very special thanks to give to my nicest patrons because you guys, this 69 thing has like blown up and I love it. I laugh every single time I get one of those pledges that has some kind of 69 in there. And so here are the ones that I've gotten this year so far. I'm so excited about them. I can hardly stand it. Nancy LaRoche pledged $2.69. Hillary Dorr also pledged $2.69. Kay Bach also pledged $2.69. Sierra Sanders and Evelyn Pollins both pledged $1.69. Stephanie Rosman pledged $6.90. Mary Angelo and Maeve both are existing patrons who have edited their pledges from $5 to $6.90. And Laurel Shane, who is also one of my existing patrons, edited her pledge from $2.69 to $3.69. I also have a new one this year, you guys. I'm very excited. 2018 is going to be a great freaking year. I'm very, very excited about this. Sarah Jenkins pledged $6.66. Love it. Love it. That was like so Joel-ish. I was very, very excited about that. So thank you guys so much. You are, of course, my nicest patrons, and I love, love, love you. I also have one other shout out to give to Ryan, who sent me anonymously, sent me to the office, you guys. It wasn't like he found my home address and sent me some anonymous packets. That I might have been freaked out about. But he sent anonymously sent a package to the office that was a shirt in upside down lettering that said, "Bet you can't guess my favorite number." And I opened it and I literally started crying because I was so touched by this shirt that I clearly knew had come from, you know, a podcast listener because of where it was sent to. And I was so touched and I was tweeting about it. And Ryan saw the tweets and he got in touch and he let me know that he was the one who sent the shirt. And so I got to like write him a proper thank you note, which I put in the mail today, actually. and so I just wanted to say thank you, Ryan. And to you guys, Ryan has an Amazon shop. So if you want a Bet You Can't Guess My Favorite Number t-shirt, you can go right to Amazon. You can key that in and the shirts will pop up. They come in a bunch of different colors. And I love them. And I've already gotten so many compliments on it. The bros at my gym seem to really like it. I wonder why. Anyway, we are actually not here to talk about 69 today. Although Shucks. I guess at some point I could figure out a way to do a whole 69 episode. I did. When I did episode 69, I had Maureen O'Connor here.
Perfect. And
we did Unraveling the Mystery of Whether Semen Clogs a Shower Drain. That was the Maureen 69 episode, which is perfect.
What a mystery.
Yeah. The answer is no, it does not.
Great.
Yeah. So you're all safe. You're all safe out there. No, what we're going to be talking about today is fur. As I mentioned, when we kicked off, Kate had emailed me, well, it was a couple months ago, right? Last year?
I think it was in the summer because my summer was like a warm weather related question specifically.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kate had inherited some furs and she wanted to know if I knew of any cold storage places for them. And I was like, I don't, but I know who will.
Yeah.
And so, that actually, before we even read the first question, I'm going to tell you this tip that like, I tell people all the time with anything like needing like to find out a place for like fur storage or to find like the best tailor for some really expensive item or whatever, which is like, go ask the most fashionable woman or man you know, because they'll know the fixers.
Right.
It's like a very, very good tip to keep in mind. So when Kate emailed me, I went to the most fashionable woman I know, who's one of my mom's friends, Gloria, who lives here in Manhattan. And I asked her and she gave me the name of the person to go to. And I gave that information to Kate. And did you end up taking them?
So I haven't taken them yet. I think I got a little like, I mean, this is maybe you have an opinion about this. I got a little like overwhelmed by the idea of like, I'm a person that like puts my fur in storage, if that makes any sense.
It makes total sense.
Like I was like, do I really need to do this? And then it was just one season or whatever. And now it's cold again. And
right.
So now it's like not the time to be putting it away.
Yeah.
But I think I will when it gets warm again.
Yeah.
I will say
and
like,
hopefully after a season of wearing it and getting used to being the kind of person who wears a fur.
Right.
I totally under that makes total sense to
I think
me.
I was a little emotionally like overwhelmed by this beautiful item I had that you know, I kind of was like, and also I felt weird like putting it somewhere that's not my home alone. I don't know. But I did
it's like sending it to sleepaway camp
right.
for 8 weeks.
Kind of. And this is all like I overthought it is the bottom line. But I did do I don't know if we talked about this, but I did a lot of research about like if you're going to keep it in your home, where to store it, how to store it.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
no, we didn't actually, but that's kind of
so
actually
very,
a lot of what we're going to do today.
Yeah,
so
I very specifically, you know, I had like cedar blocks in my closet. I took those out because apparently they're not good for it. You probably know.
I'm so excited. You already know.
You probably
this.
Know more about why.
Yay!
I'm forgetting now.
Yeah, I will
originally,
tell you why.
When I, you know, carried it to my house because it was not given to me at my house, it was in like, you know, like a garment bag mm-hmm. that was plastic. I took it out of the garment
yep.
bag because apparently like the moisture likes
so
it breathe. I mean, it all makes perfect sense. You know, like fur is a skin just like leather is.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't moisturize it the way leather can be moisturized.
Exactly.
So like you kind of have to do more preventative things than you'd probably do for leather. So
it's
I wouldn't
more,
say
it's temperamental kind of in the same way that suede is temperamental.
Right. So I wouldn't say that, I don't know, like if you were a fur expert, you'd probably come to my studio apartment and be like, this is disgusting. But also like my closet is not like overly warm or overly freezing, like it's not humid in there. My apartment isn't very hot, so I think like for a season it was probably
I think
fine.
That's totally fine.
Like
yeah.
I didn't feel like I was threatening the longevity of my like new inherited item.
Yeah. And actually I want to say, so like I want to acknowledge from the jump that this is a kind of controversial topic.
Yeah, totally.
Because obviously, a lot of people have very, very, very strong feelings about wearing fur and the, you know, the ethics and that go into that and all that stuff. So I want to say that all of the all of the questions that we have today are people who have inherited their furs.
Yeah.
And I also just want to say that whether I personally do or do not agree with wearing fur doesn't really matter, because my job here is just to help people with the questions they have, not to make the choices for them about what they do and don't wear. So, but I want to acknowledge that some of you will feel maybe surprised and maybe betrayed that I'm even doing this episode. And if you feel that way, I understand. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry that I'm letting you down in this way, but I do feel it's part of my job to address this, because it is a question that people have, and people do wear fur, and it's not really for me to moralize about that in terms of the work that I do.
Yeah.
So, I hope you guys won't be disappointed. If you are, just tune out and come back for the next episode. And I hope you'll come back, you know. But yeah, I just want to acknowledge that.
Yeah, no. Right. And I think for me, I would never go out and buy a new fur. This was like a meaningful inherited gift, basically.
Yeah.
And also, especially now, there are like incredible, beautiful colored fake furs that like are kind of stunning. That I'm like, why would you buy a new fur?
Right, exactly.
Like, I would never do it.
Yeah. Like, why not get the bright
for me, this
one.
Item is like emotionally significant.
Yeah.
And it also felt, I'm someone who doesn't really like to waste. So I was like, what am I going to do with this? Throw it away.
Yeah.
Which is something people say you can do. And that's totally fair too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's kind of my feeling on it.
Yeah. No. I think that's right. And that was one of the reasons when we were talking about doing this episode that I felt like, I felt really comfortable doing it, because I knew the circumstances under which you got your fur.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I feel.
Yeah, I'm not like a fancy lady who was like, which new animal will I kill this season to like wear on my back like Cruella de Vil?
All right. I'm going to have you read the first question from KJ.
Yeah. Sounds great. Hi, Jolie. I recently got my hand on some furs. I was wondering if you knew the proper way to clean care for these things. I'm normally a very simple jeans and a cotton t-shirt girl, so I'm way out of my depth here. Please help.
Sure thing. I've got help. And I think, you know, it's funny when you were talking about how you feel about it, I was like, this is exactly what the first letter writer feels like.
Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't, like, this came to me. I never thought of myself as a fur-wearing lady.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't know that I am now, to be clear. This is like a very once-in-a-while thing that leaves my house.
Exactly. So I'm going to just go through some general care tips. And Kate, you know, as I'm going through them, feel free to add stuff in.
Sure.
Especially about your own experience in terms of just like finding room in your small space.
Yeah.
Because that's a big issue. So the first big thing to say to you guys is that fur hates heat.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense, right? Because it's sort of designed for keeping cold out. So when it's not in use, I'm going to kind of start from like from the back end of this of when it's not in use. You do want to be ideally storing it in cold storage during its off season. And what cold storage means is fur likes to be at around 45 degrees Fahrenheit and about 50% humidity. So that means that, you know, here in New York in the summertime, you're talking about, even if your apartment is, you know, well air conditioned, you're still talking about definitely way above 45 degrees and 50% humidity. And the humidity is a big issue, which we're actually going to get into in the last question that we have here, which is like a very, very tragic question. So cold storage is a good thing to do in the off season. You don't absolutely have to do it. It won't, you know, as Kate was saying, and she's right about this, you know, if you miss cold storage for one season, no big deal. But a fur is something that you want to last for a long, long time. And so over time, over the course of several years or several decades, if you're not putting into that cold storage, it is going to deteriorate. And it's not going to have a super long lifespan. And that would be a shame, because they're expensive and they're beautiful. You should also aim to have it cleaned once a year. And you should send it to a fur specialist, not to a dry cleaner. Unless your dry cleaner is
a fur specialist.
Unless your dry cleaner is John Medesian, and
right.
He's also a fur specialist.
I mean, we can all dream.
although I wouldn't necessarily tell you to send it to John, just because he'll charge you an arm and a leg.
Right.
Which is actually a thing I told Kate when she was looking for the storage recommendation. I was like, don't go to Madame Paulette. John will charge you a fortune. I mean, they're great for what they do, but like,
Right.
For what Kate is looking for, for what KJ is looking for.
Shockingly, I'm not a real housewife. So.
I mean, you should be.
News at 11. Thank you.
Kate and I are both Real Housewives enthusiasts. So, yeah. So, you should have it cleaned once a year by a fur specialist. And one other thing to mention. This is actually pretty important to the lifespan of a coat. If you have any damage to the coat, have repairs done ASAP. Don't wait for that once a year. Don't wait until you send it off to storage for the season. Get it repaired as quickly as you can after it happens. So whether there's a little tear or, if you carry a shoulder bag on one shoulder constantly and you notice that the fur has gotten very, very badly matted, go have that taken care of. Don't let it linger. That's just good, for sort of fur care. Then in terms of when you're in season, there's not a whole lot of special stuff you need to do, but there are a few special things you need to do, and they're easy, thank God. So the first is you have to get a good hanger for it. You want to hang, furs are very heavy also. You want to hang them on a wide and very sturdy hanger. So a wide padded hanger would be great. Or one of those very broad plastic or wood hangers would also be great. But you want it to be quite a broad hanger so that the shoulders of the jacket aren't bearing down on a thin or too pointed hanger, which will cause damage to the shape and interior of the jacket. You never, ever, ever want to hang your fur on a wire hanger. And so then we are all in a happy spot because we can make a no wire hanger joke, and we always love making those. The other thing you want to do when you're hanging your fur is you want to leave it plenty of space. You don't want it jammed into a closet because the fur itself will get matted and damaged from being smushed. So you really want to give it space. And that's hard to do. I mean, Kate and I live in very small apartments in New York, and you don't have a lot of closet space, but you got to give that baby room to breathe, basically.
Yeah. What I have kind of found myself doing is like shoving everything to kind of one side. So this one item ends up taking up like more space than is warranted. And then I sort of do a thing where I'll like rotate it periodically, mm-hmm. like around. So
smart.
Yeah. Which like, who knows if this is doing anything, but like helping my peace of mind.
Yeah.
And then also the item that is closest to it right now, which again, you might be like, Kate, that's crazy. Don't do that. Is like a faux fur I've had for like forever.
No, actually, that's fine.
But I kind of figured like, oh, this fabric is like similar enough, it's not going to irritate it. And like,
No, that's really smart.
Yeah. So this is just like my rationale for it.
No. I think that's actually the perfect thing to do.
I don't think it's like any of it is like ideal circumstances, but like this is the life I lead.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to adapt my life for this imposter in it.
No. I think that's really smart. One other thing to mention about like the things that you hang it around is you don't want to have anything embellished sort of hanging in contact with the fur. And then related to that, if you put like, a pin or anything on your fur, make sure you take it off after you've worn it. Don't leave it hanging there because that will damage the fur in the long.
I can't even imagine doing
it. I mean, I don't imagine you putting like a giant like brooch on your fur.
We're really starting to get like very far away from my life instead of just tangentially far away from my life.
Yeah, I don't really see that as your aesthetic, Kate. You never know. I mean,
maybe I should get into brooches in 2018.
Listen, you never know what you're going to inherit next.
I will say on my way over here, I saw a woman wearing like a long knee length sort of like tan fur, and I was like, it's a sign. And then I was like, no, it's February, Kate.
But it's not that cold today, actually.
No, it's not. And it was downtown too. The only time I ever see consistent furs is when you go to the Upper East Side. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, you're gonna see five beautiful old ladies in their slippers walking their dog in like a like to their feet fur.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. Mm-hmm. I love the consistency.
I love it.
It's like, what's up with your life and can I get it?
Thank God for the Upper East Side, man. Yeah.
They always stay the same. It's like the Dazed and Confused quote. It's like, I keep getting older and they stay the same as always.
It's so true. I love going to the Upper East Side. Actually, this weekend, I saw, it was pouring all weekend. And I think it must have been on Saturday. I saw two women wearing like snow white fur coats. And I was like, first of all, crazy. I was like, first of all, it's not cold. It was pouring rain, but it was
not cold.
No, it
was like
cold.
50 degrees
out. It was 50 degrees. I'm like, it's too hot for a fur. And what are you doing wearing that white fur in this weather in Manhattan?
It must like come to, I'm sure, one of your next points, which is do not get the fur wet.
Don't do that. Yes, I do have tips on that. You can get it wet, actually. Okay, before I get into the stuff about the wet, one more thing about the storage is, and you know, Kate already said this, is don't store it in a plastic bag, in a garment bag. Actually, don't store it in a garment bag of any sort. It needs to breathe.
Yeah.
It's just like you wouldn't put a shower cap on your head and wear it for,
I mean, 6 months. Like, you don't know my life.
No, actually, I don't. Now I'm picturing you in a shower cap, a fur, and a brooch.
I haven't worn a shower cap since I was like 7, so don't worry. I wouldn't do any of that.
Okay, I feel a lot better knowing that. And don't store it with cedar or mothballs. See, the thing about cedar is that cedar is drying.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. Yeah.
And mothballs, like, First of all, they stink to high heaven.
Why is anyone using mothballs anyway?
You guys, please don't actually. Yeah. Separate of the fur thing, mothballs are super toxic. I don't know if people know this. They're
really gross.
Toxic.
Cedar, I'm sure you've probably talked about this on here and I've missed it, but like cedar is a great alternative. Smells really good. The chips, I think a friend gave me extras because she had too many. And so now I have them and now they're just in my other drawers.
Yeah.
But not near my fur, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah. Nowhere near.
But I don't really. Also, maybe a lot of you guys have moths, but like I don't know anyone who has moths. Like, where are they?
You know who had?
Is it like old houses?
You know who had a bad moth problem in her new apartment in New York was Kavi.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, this is a mutual friend of Kate and I.
Yeah.
A year or two ago, it was terrible. She had like a terrible infestation.
I mean,
moths.
There are bugs.
You know who
there
else?
Are so many
you know
different
who else
kinds
had,
of bugs.
You know who else has had moths?
Oh.
Bethany Frankel. Oh. And you know how I know that? Because John Medesian told me that when I interviewed him to do a profile on him. He went into this
great.
Whole thing.
She called him. I knew moths. As soon as I said that you were going to be like, here are 7 examples of people whose lives are devastated by moths. Anyway, I don't have moths, but I had the cedar planks just in case.
Yeah. No. It's a good thing to have. But not around your fur. Okay. So let's talk about the wet stuff. So the fur does get wet in the rain. It's fine. I mean, the animal that was originally wearing fur.
It's water resistant because the
animal. Or the fur in the rain. Yeah. You know? So if it does get wet, what you want to do is when you get back home is you want to shake it out.
Yeah.
So that you shake off as much of the water as you can. And then you want to just hang it to dry before you put it back in your closet. So like if you've got a shower curtain rod, you can just, you know, hang it there and let it air dry. You could, you know, hang it on a hook or whatever, but let it dry before it gets back in. If it gets soaked.
Yeah.
Which is pretty unlikely that it would.
Yeah,
it does,
I feel like you would probably like duck under an awning or something.
Yeah, but if it does, that's the time for you to take it to the specialty cleaner and have them handle it, because you don't want it to get, you know, if it's truly completely saturated with water, you do want to get it professionally cleaned at that point. Okay, one other tip to mention, and this is actually, it's kind of similar, and I associate furs and pearls.
Sure.
Because there's that sort of look, right? The fancy lady look. And these rules actually apply to both furs and pearls. You don't want to, and not that you really would, I guess this is more for like accessories like collars and stuff like this. I don't think you would be putting this stuff on when you were like wearing your full mink coat. But you don't want to spray perfume or hairspray while you're wearing your fur, because there's alcohol
really
in it.
Well, it's really porous too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's alcohol in those products and it will be drying to the fur.
Yeah.
Which actually leads us into our next question. I'm actually going to go ahead and read. It's not really a question. It's actually just an incident. and I'll tell you guys the backstory on how this came about. So on New Year's Day this year, I took to Twitter. Oh, because one of my followers had tweeted at me in the middle of the night.
Tragic.
From a party.
Right.
Like, which is like the best thing in the world for me. It was like, we've got the first vomit incident of 2018. And so when I woke up the next day, I saw it and I retweeted it and I was like, you guys, tell me about all the messes you made last night. And I expected, like, I don't know, like 4 responses. Oh no.
Yeah.
My entire New Year's Day was like lost to this. I mean, I was joyful for me because it's the best thing in the world. But just like all of these people tweeting the, like, they were sending me photos of messes. They were like, it was amazing, telling me about all the messes they made on New Year's Eve. And Twitter user One True Cinnamon Bitch.
Great.
Which is just the best handle for that to go along with what this is. Tweeted at me that she got red lipstick on a white mink. And I was like, well, you win for most glamorous.
Yeah. What a look.
Yeah. And actually, she sent me before and after pictures of it because there's a happy ending here.
Wow. That's exciting because I literally was like, wow, I bet that's ruined.
Yeah. I like panicked for her when I first read it. And then I was like, wait a minute. No, I have a solution for her. And it worked. So that was great. So what I told her to do was, I was like, use rubbing alcohol, put it on like a cotton pad or on like a, you know, like a thin, soft, like rag or cloth, like an old t-shirt would be fine. And I was like, you know, don't soak the cotton, just use like a sparing amount and run it along the hair where the lipstick is, but run it along like with the grain of the hair. So only working in one motion, like the way that you're supposed to file your fingernails only in one direction, you know?
Oh God, I never do that.
I'm actually pretty good about that. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard not to like slip and do a little back and forth.
Yeah.
But like I've
maybe gotten... now that you've mentioned it, I'll be more alert.
Well, I'm also
like... I always do it when I'm like just watching TV. So I think that's the problem, is I sort of zone out.
Yeah, you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm also like obsessive about my fingernails.
Yeah, you're
so...
much better
she
than
just
I am.
She just like eyed my manicure.
No, it looks great. Yeah. Jolie has like very long hot pink nails
I
right
do.
Now.
I got one
and
chip though on
it's
the shorty.
Making me feel... I was going through a stage where I keep mine really short because then I start to like... I feel like I scratch a lot when I have long nails. That's like an overshare.
No,
I don't
that's
know.
Fine. Wait, I just come feel on, like the things I say on this program.
Right, but it's like I don't need people to know that I'm like itching myself all the time. But no, I just like to keep my nails pretty short. But there was a period of time for like 3 or 4 years when I always had polish on them. And then now I'm just sort of out of the favor. But I need to circle back for sure because it does make your hands more interesting.
Yeah.
Like I liked working more because I would look at my hands. And I'd be like tap, 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 you know.
Yeah. I think my listeners know this because I think I've talked about it before. But the way that I learned to paint my fingernails was when I was writing my book. Mm-hmm. Because I was spending so much time staring at my hands.
Exactly.
And I needed a break. And so I was like, this is actually a great break from writing because like you can kind of let your mind relax a little
bit. It's super meditative. Mm-hmm. I really liked it when I was doing it. It just seems to have fallen out of favor in terms of my quote unquote self-care routine.
Well, maybe I'll get back into
it. Yeah, maybe I'll circle back.
Yeah. You'll be wearing nail varnish and fur and brooches and shower caps.
Everyone listening to this, like, please don't tweet at me. I swear to God, like, I'm a terrible person, but not for these reasons. Okay. Anyway, so you work the alcohol with the grain of the fur.
Way to get me back on track.
I'm on your level.
Yeah. So that's what I told her to do, and it worked. And she tweeted back
incredible.
Before and after pictures to me. So now the thing is like, you know, I just want to mention again, like the alcohol is drying in the fur.
Right.
So after you do, and it was not a big,
it was very small
splotch of lipstick, but like what she could have done after that, if she was worried about it, was she could have taken a tiny, tiny bit of a clear, mild shampoo and just shampooed the fur in the same exact way, just like with a damp rag, just working in the direction and then clean water and wipe the, the shampoo off, because again, it's hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a mild clear shampoo, like a baby shampoo.
What an amazing New Year's miracle!
Mm-hmm. I
don't
very
think
happy
there is such a thing as a New Year's miracle.
There is now. But now there is. listen, on that New Year's miracle note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Kate and I will be right back with more of your furry problems. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Kate Dries. We've been talking about fur and and itching.
God knows what else.
All manner of weird thin moths. All right, so we have another question. This is a long one from Lena. Long tragic tale from Lena.
Uh-oh, okay. Hi, Jolie. I've been a fan of your writing since the very beginning on the hairpin, and you have inspired me to make my bed and tackle weird stains I previously thought were impossible to treat. Right now, I am miserable, and you may be the best person to help me.
I hope so.
Yeah, God, me too. I will say that because of you, I also do make my bed now.
Yes!
But it's like, it's really haphazard. Like, it's not impressive.
That's
but
okay.
I do it every morning. It does make you feel better.
Oh, thanks for saying so. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. I realize I never told you that. Now you know.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Back to Lena.
That made my day.
I live in wet London and came home from holiday yesterday. I love British people. Mm-hmm. Holiday. Mm-hmm. I should start saying that. To notice that the back wall of my wardrobe is covered in green mold. Oh my God. Sorry, that was my editorializing. Yeah. This is horrifying.
I know, this is a bad one.
The wardrobe was pretty full of clothes, and the majority of clothes are cotton shirts that I can wash at hot temperatures. The wardrobe was also hosted my grandmother's old fur coat, paren muskrat, a light blue suede blazer, a brown leather jacket, a puffer jacket, and a woolen blazer with suede trimmings. The suede blazer and leather jacket have mold on the sleeves that were against the back wall, and the fur coat is wet. As far as I can tell, the actual skin on the coat is dry and only the fur is wet. The brown leather jacket has some mold on the inside lining around the side seam and armpit. I've taken the coats and jackets out of the wardrobe and I'm airing them, but our flat has pretty serious humidity problems and the outside air is 85% water, so it may take a while. I'm starting to like visualize her apartment as like, did you see The Shape of Water? Like,
no, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, if you guys have seen that, where they live in The Shape of Water. Take for that what you will. I'm pretty confident on being able to clean the brown leather jacket myself. I used to work at a stable and I've got some leather care skills, so I'm mostly worried about the suede jacket and fur coat. The fur coat isn't visibly covered by mold and doesn't smell too strongly, but is there something I should do to disinfect it? Is there any chance of removing mold from a suede jacket? The suede jacket has green and orange mold on it, but it doesn't seem to be too wet, so hopefully it's mainly on the surface. The other sensitive clothes don't seem to be affected as badly, but I don't want to clean everything out and put them back in with all the invisible spores just for everything else to go moldy again. I would like to wash as many of the other clothes as possible at home, but is a gentle wash program good enough to kill the spores on silk/gentle wash items, or do they need dry cleaning too? I don't really have the money for expensive specialist dry cleaners, but if it's the only option and has a good chance of working, I'll do it. Most of these jackets and coats were gifts, so I really hope you can help me salvage them. Any and all anti-mold tips are welcome. Thank you for your help, Lena. Lena, wow. I am really feeling for you. This is like the Mount Everest of cleaning.
I know. It's so much, too. And actually, I have to say, as you were reading it, I was like, gosh, I didn't even put the instructions in for the silk stuff. So I don't forget it. Let me actually start with the silk stuff. Lena, you can totally go ahead and wash the silk stuff at home. It's going to be fine. The basic silk instructions are hand wash, cool water. Keep the water at a consistent temperature and don't expose the silk to water for too long, like a 5-minute wash. Because you've got some mold in there, you can also go ahead and add about 1/4 cup of white vinegar to that wash water. The white vinegar is going to have a disinfecting effect. It will nuke the spores. You can give it a quick hand wash. The silk stuff is going to be fine. So that's your silk instructions. You don't have to take that stuff to a specialty cleaner. And actually, I can help you get everything done at home. It's just going to require some time and patience on your part. And unfortunately, you live in wet London, so we can't use one of the great resources we have for dealing with mold on clothing and other things, which is the sun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But we've got other things we can do. So let's start with this fur thing. Because actually, the fur, it sounds like it's not in super
bad
shape.
Yeah, the fur seemed okay. I'm like more worried about the suede.
Yeah. And we can save the suede. The suede's going to be A-okay. Because she said it isn't, it doesn't smell moldy, she may not have to do this. But if she does want to give the fur a thorough cleaning, she could dilute a small amount of a, you know, clear mild shampoo in a small bowl of water. And use like a washcloth to basically give a sponge bath to the fur. You want to sponge bath it in the direction of the fur, just like we talked about with the lipstick. And then you want to rinse the rag very well and go over it many, many times with just clear water. Wring it out so it's not sopping wet. This should be a damp operation, both in terms of using the shampoo and doing the rinsing. You want to wring your rag out very well so it's just damp, and wipe and wring and damp, and you know, it's just patience. But that will do it. And then let the thing dry out. I do have some tips for drying. So the thing is, you know, as I said when we started this all off, fur hates heat. So you don't want to turn a hair dryer on it.
Yeah.
You don't want to put it near
a heater
or a fire. But what you can do is you can hang it to dry with a dehumidifier near it.
Oh.
The dehumidifier is going to help pull the moisture not only out of the room that it's in, but out of the fur coat itself.
Yeah.
So that may really help. You should also definitely get a dehumidifier and put it in the closet. It's probably also not a bad idea you might not have an outlet in the closet if you don't have one. Definitely get a desiccant. I don't know what the UK equivalent of Damprid is, but I know that there will be one because, I mean, literally, if there's any place in the world that needs Damprid, it's it's the UK. So if you Google Damprid UK equivalent, you'll come up with it. And I'm sorry, I should have done that when I was researching for the show. Obviously, this question had so much going on. I forgot component. sorry, you guys. New studio. I'm like a little off my game today. So that's like the basic like washing and drying instructions. One other thing to do after you've given the coat its sponge bath, get a dry towel and just wipe it again with the hair. On the grain of the hair, just give it a wiping down with a dry towel before you go to hang dry it, and that will do you well. Now, if you are concerned that there is mold on the fur, which it doesn't sound like you are, but definitely we know there is some on the suede, go ahead and wear a pair of gloves so that it's not coming in contact with your hands. If you have respiratory issues, you might want to wear a mask. I don't think that's strictly necessary in this case, but I just want to mention it as like a safety concern. All right, so let's turn our attention to the suede and the leather. So the thing is, the leather sounds like it's actually fine.
Yeah.
But I do want to mention, just in case any of you have any leather goods of any sort that have developed a mold problem, there is a column that I wrote not too long ago, I think in November of 2017, December of 2017, it was the end of the year. One of my Ask a Clean Person columns for Jalopnik was about mold on leather specifically. Because,
oh, in cars.
Yeah. Well, actually, what it was motorcycle leathers.
Sure.
We had a reader who wrote in to me that he had a really, really expensive set of motorcycle leathers, and he had had them in storage for 6 years. And he said, he was like, all this time, he was like, I knew I should have gone and checked on them. I knew I was making a mistake. Like, I'm beating myself up over it. But I finally opened them and, yep, completely covered in mold.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, these were really expensive. I don't want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
What can I do? So there are like incredibly detailed instructions on what to do about that on Jalopnik, jalopnik.com/ask a clean person. Or just Google Jolie Care motorcycle and tell me what other results come up when you Google that.
Yeah, I was going to say some cool photos.
So let's talk specifically about the suede. So the instructions that I'm going to give for the suede are basically the exact same instructions for the leather, except suede is more temperamental. So there's more stuff you can do to leather that you can't do to suede. So I'm going to go through the suede instructions, but basically it's the same thing for the leather. So you're going to need a few things. You're going to need my old friend white vinegar. My great pal.
Your best friend.
It's like we did I did a live show about a month ago, and we had a Jolie Care drinking game, and one of the things that someone suggested was like drink every time she says white vinegar, and I was like, no, drink water every time I say white vinegar. Because otherwise...
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, everybody drank white vinegar. And I was like, oh, my God.
It would make people do that.
Oof. Ooh.
That. No, I was like, drink water when you say white vinegar.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want our old friend white vinegar. You want a soft bristled brush, like a suede brush, or just like a nail brush. Or a toothbrush is going to be tedious to work with.
This is
so a nail
small.
Brush is bigger, or a suede brush. But a soft bristled brush... And like an old t-shirt or soft rags. So what you're going to do with the suede to begin is you're going to use the brush to brush away the molds. And it will brush away. You can also use a soft cloth for that. But frankly, the brush is going to be better. It's going to be more effective. Again, this is a place where you probably will want to be wearing gloves and possibly even a mask. Then what you'll do is you will put some of your white vinegar into a bowl, leave some headspace so that like you can get in there without sloshing the white vinegar everywhere. And you're going to dip your soft cloth, like, you know, again, old t-shirt is perfect for this. You're going to dip your soft cloth in that, wring it out so that it's just damp with the vinegar, not soaking wet. And you're going to wipe the suede down with it. Now, suede does not love liquid, but you can use sparing amounts of liquid on suede. The important thing is that you're really wringing out that rag so you're not, like, sopping this, like, vinegary rag onto your suede. You just want it to be damp. And just wipe the areas where the mold was. Again, the vinegar is going to kill the mold spores. Then you're going to do the exact same thing with a clean rag dipped in water. You're going to wring it out very, very, very well, and you're just going to go over it to remove the vinegar residue. You could also, that's what you'll definitely do with leather. With suede, if it's very, very temperamental suede and you don't want to apply any more liquid to it other than the vinegar, you could go over it with the brush because the brush will actually pull away that vinegar residue. It'll pull it up out of the nap. The last thing you can do, and you know, this isn't going to work in, you know, foggy London, unfortunately. But once you're done with that initial cleaning, if you can get a hot, sunshiny day and stick the stuff outdoors, if you have a safe space to do that, and if you had sunshine, obviously, the UV rays from the sun will go a long way in killing those spores. Since you can't do that, if you feel nervous about spores lingering, you can get one of those UV wands that like the extreme germaphobes use to like wand the subway poles before they touch it. And that will also do the same effect. You don't need to, but if some people feel really nervous, and for almost their own peace of mind, they want that sort of extra level of mold removal. So I think you're going to be okay. It's, you know, look, it's going to be, it's going to be a little tedious, but it won't be hugely costly, and you'll save those things.
Yeah.
So there we go. I think we're just about out of time, but I do want to get to this great, totally unrelated question, although it has to do with mold. And
oh, yeah. It is related. Everything in cleaning is related. It all comes back together.
It does. I can find a tie-in for anything.
This, I think, will make me seem... more relatable than the rest of this episode has, which has made me seem like some rich bitch monster.
All right, no.
I'm fine with, guys.
She's going to be the newest Real Housewife of New York. I mean, someone has to fall in bushes now that Luann has gotten clean.
It could be me.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you in action, Kate.
Okay.
Okay, so Kate sent me an email. This is like a couple weeks ago. This is recently. What's
funny about this is until you brought it up, I forgot that I sent you this email. So that's embarrassing and makes me wonder for my sanity on multiple levels. But that's fine.
I encourage people to send me emails when they're in a state of not remembering that they're sending emails because they make great emails.
Yeah, I want to go back and look at this timestamp. I think it was a normal time of day. But if it wasn't, that's also okay. And I embrace that.
Well, I'll tell you what. You tell them what the question was, and I'm going to look up and I'll tell you what the timestamp was.
Okay. If I remember correctly, I emailed you because I was thinking about like whether people so I got a new shower curtain. Now I'm remembering. So the thing about me is, like, you know how a lot of people have like a liner and then a curtain, and the curtain is either like plastic or cloth.
Right. That's what I have. I have a liner and a cloth.
Because you're like a nice fancy person. I am like a dirtbag. And also, like, we never had a real curtain in my house. My parents would just buy liners and then throw them out.
Okay.
When they got dirty.
Okay.
So that's what I do. I just only use a liner.
Okay.
Because it's also like,
I don't think that's that uncommon.
I don't know, like, what is normal. But anyway, so I'm unwrapping the new liner because obviously the old one was disgusting, and the cleaning that I had done, like, it was like done. There was no more point in continuing to clean it. And it said, like, wipe it down after every shower. And I was like, what? Like, who? I know people, like, the people I get who wipe their showers down are the people that have glass showers are, like, need to be maintained, and they live in these, like, beautiful apartments, so they have the, like, squeegee.
Yeah.
Of course.
I used to have one when I had glass shower doors.
But I don't have that. So I think what I emailed you was, like, does anybody do this? Does anybody wipe their, like, loose, flapping curtain
and she was like,
liner
and how?
Down?
And how?
Like, would I don't even, I just seems like it would require so much work when you're, like, clean already.
Yeah.
Then you'd be, like, sweaty again. I don't know. Yeah. I overthought the whole thing. What time did I send you this at?
You sent me the email at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes me feel a little better, I guess.
But the fact that you remember sending an email at 3:30 in the afternoon is amazing. So this is all just, I have the email up, so I'm just going to read
great.
My response.
Flip, please.
I said, hey, lady, this is a hilarious and really good question. Want to come on my podcast to discuss? This is how I get them, you guys. This is what I do to my friends now. Seize any opportunity out of them, maybe go on my show.
I mean, I left the door wide open for
you. Really did.
Or
you
the
really
shower
did.
Curtain,
you
as
really,
it were.
Really did. So, and then I continue. I was like, the short response is that you basically answered your own question. The reason to wipe the liner is to delay the development of mold and mildew, which water plus soap scum will encourage. But yeah, functionally, it's not that realistic. And also, you can just toss liners in the wash. So there's an even better option than tossing them out.
See, that is something I actually didn't know.
Yeah.
I
and
guess
then
that
I said,
makes
I have a lot more
perfect
to say
sense.
About this.
As
but,
there
but you know that because you know me.
Any more to say about this topic. I will say it did not occur to me that you could wash a liner, but obviously you can. Mm-hmm. I will also say that I don't just like, I'm not like throwing liners out every week. Like as I mentioned at the top of the episode, waste is like very important to me. So I do like when I clean the shower, I do like scrub them down.
Right.
And so I will have them for like months basically.
Right.
But I, you know, it gets to a point where
there's
it's like
a lifespan. Yeah.
What is the point anymore? This is disgusting. And like someone's staying at my place and I'm like, gotta go get
gotta
a new
go,
liner,
yeah.
Which is why I bought the last one.
Right. So I will say, first of all, I do not wipe my liner down after every use. When I had glass shower doors, I did have a squeegee and I squeegeed after every use. It's just frankly like not that. It's not that easy to wipe a flap in.
No, it's really hard.
Really not.
And what I thought was sort of, and this is again me thinking too much about this. What I thought was sort of funny was that wouldn't it benefit the manufacturer of the liner to not tell you that?
Yeah.
Because then you'd buy more. So I was sort of fascinated. Or do they think you'll get mad that it gets moldy so fast and like not buy their... I don't know. I was sort of curious about that.
I think they tell you that part because... And now we're getting into like Jolie Care conspiracy theory time here. I think they tell you that instruction because they know no one's going to do it, but they don't give you the instruction that you can put it in the washing machine because then people would do
it.
Oh,
yeah.
So anyway, so here's the thing. I do the scrub thing when I'm cleaning my tub out.
Yeah.
When I'm done cleaning the tub, I then take my like, you know, my microfiber cloth and whatever cleaning agent I'm using and I just give a quick, I hold the curtain
I do the
pot
same
with
thing.
One hand and I scrub the bottom off and I curse because it's awkward and I can't stand it, but I can't stand having a disgusting shower curtain liner anymore. And for me, laundering my shower curtain liner is kind of an ordeal because I have to go to a laundromat.
Well, that's the thing. It's like realistically right now, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When,
but I do. I mean,
when
I
have it in my, let's just say, let's not even get greedy. Let's just say building.
Yes. Yes.
I will be doing.
My kingdom for in building.
I know. I will be.
Forget in unit.
God, I can't believe we just didn't talk about laundry.
We'll
the
come back
concept for this whole hour.
Come back for laundry school in the fall.
Cool. I cannot wait.
Do you know who was
be doing laundry again?
You're going to laugh at this. Do you know who my best laundry school guest was this past fall?
Who?
Leah Finnegan.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
She's a laundry enthusiast. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Folding, and I got to teach her like all these weird terms that I had learned.
Yeah.
And, like,
I love doing it, but folding is really my favorite part, I would say. Because it's so calming.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll come back for laundry.
Yeah. So I'm excited to learn that you can just throw that in the laundry.
So here's the basic instructions for this, and then we'll wrap up and we'll go do bonus time. I forget. Did we have something to talk about? I feel like I came up with something for the bonus episode. I can't remember now.
I have plenty of stuff I want to talk to you about. So don't
worry. You guys, Kate and I are old friends. We used to work together at Dust Bustle. Like, we've known each other for 1,000 years. Okay. So you put it in the washer, small amount of detergent. You don't need a ton of detergent. Small amount of detergent, either a quarter to half cup of white vinegar or of bleach. Not both. Never both. Never mix them. Don't put it in the dryer.
Yeah, duh.
Well, I mean,
well, actually, not duh, because I once put a metal bowl in the microwave. Yeah, I mean, so what can I say? To be fair, caveat.
So that's all. Just when you take it out of the washer, you know, shake it out and just hang it back up to drip dry, and that's how you do it.
Cool.
So on that note,
on that fascinating note.
Listen, you have no idea how often my friends in particular ask me about shower curtain liners. Actually, Maureen O'Connor asked me about shower curtain liners one time when she was here. I was like, Maureen, I bring you in to talk about the sexy stuff, not shower curtain liners.
Hey, man, that is the sexy stuff.
I guess so. In my world, I guess it is. All right, you guys, on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Kate, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm excited to have you back for laundry school.
Yeah, I'm excited to one day do laundry again.
If you guys like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.